Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
All right, one more story, and then we will wrap it up. So, agricultural detectives. I didn't know there were agricultural detectives. Recently arrested a Fresno man involved in an elaborate scheme to steal and resell pistachios, as other arrests are expected, as more than $350,000 in stolen nuts.
Pistachios specifically?
And trailers are recovered, yeah.
That scumbag.
Detectives were called to Seton Pistachio for a possible cargo theft.
The name's Jebediah Knuckles.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. An agriculture detective.
Breaking up the pistachio ring?
I had heard there was a pistachio ring operating out of Lancaster. I went to investigate.
Arriving,
they're green.
The arriving detectives. That's all you found out. They're green. Turns
not
out
a very
green.
Good detective.
Arriving detectives found the suspect stole the identity of a legitimate trucking company. They then used that company's name to secure contracts for the delivery of two tractor trailer loads of pistachios worth more than $294,000.
God.
Instead of delivering the product, the suspects took the pistachios to an abandoned property where they removed the packaging. They then sold the nuts to an unsuspecting buyer in Madera County. Detectives found the suspects developed an elaborate scheme to carry out their plan. The suspects used a big rig, stole two trailers from a Fresno business. The trailers were equipped with real-time GPS trackers.
Open up the back of the truck. I want to see your nuts.
Detectives were able to track them down with the GPS trackers. A guy named Singh Sexton was...
Singh Sexton?
Yeah, suspected responsible for the theft, and he was found at his home, arrested, and booked, and on big charges, because it's $350,000.
That's a load of cash.
Where the merchandise that he... Or merchandise.
Munchandise. Right. Munchandise. It's merchandise you can eat.
Yep. And there you go. That's what we have in the Bizarre File for you. Okay, we are set for our next guest, and we're looking forward to having him on. We've been playing this song here, yeah, which is such a great band, and these guys love Philadelphia, and Philadelphia loves them as well. So we're happy that we have a member of Seether on. Please welcome Sean Morgan, yeah, to the show this morning. Sean, good morning to you, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. How about yourself, man?
Great, man. A little early, but I'm feeling strong.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. Now, listen, I'm going to lead with this question because, Sean, you know, we have a great relationship with you and your band, WMMR has for years, and would love to promote your new album. I just don't know how the hell to pronounce it, other than Parabellum. I know that part. So please enlighten us, if you will.
Siwi Pacem Parabellum.
Oh, Siwi Pacem Parabellum.
Yes, I thought that was the case because Kathy's the only one here who speaks fluent Latin. But I knew it from the last John Wick movie, but I wasn't sure about that, the V being pronounced as W.
All right, so it means if you want peace, prepare for war, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Okay. I felt like it was a fitting title for the age we're living through right now. You know, I think it sort of... It meant something about the music on the album. It also meant something about, you know, the year 2020 being something that's unrecognizable as far as I'm concerned. And I had no idea that pistachios were such a hot commodity.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They're all the rage, man.
If you want pistachios, prepare for nuts.
But listen, I do like the evolution of album titles and stories that come along with great records that you hear about. But you hear about well after, usually. So I do want to ask about that, of that title, and this being the year that it is, were the songs written with that in mind and fall in line of this title, or did you pick the title later on because it just fits with the time we're living in?
Yeah, I finished writing the music last year, and we finished recording the album in January. We were in the can by February with the mixes and masters. And I just didn't have a title yet. But then about two weeks after that, we went into the never-ending lockdown. And I was trying to – I obviously needed a name. And I was just scrolling on the internet, man, and then it happened to stumble across a Latin phrase page, as you do, you know, when you're looking for high tops. And I liked what I was seeing, and then I stumbled across the phrase. And I thought that kind of really sort of summed up even back then what 2020 looked like and what the album was sort of touching on as far as social media and stuff. But man, the scary part is that as the months roll by, it becomes more and more valid and more appropriate as a maybe a heading for the year, because it doesn't seem like anything's getting better at all. It just feels to me like we just keep getting worse and worse and worse, man. So we're trying to stay optimistic and positive, but it at times it feels like that's an insurmountable task. You know?
Well, I was having a conversation about this last night, and I am an optimistic kind of guy, and I think ultimately, again, you know, throughout life, and you live long enough, you go through a couple of different things. I was talking to my dad, who, you know, is World War II, and you realize that, you know, there was a pandemic during World War I, and you get through. You don't get more than you can handle, as they say. And this has always been one of my favorite phrases. And I believe, you know, that the essence of it is that if be prepared. If you want to avoid certain things, prepare if you're going to encounter them, you know? And
exactly.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you're right. It's prepare for the worst by you know, having the imagination and the resources to do so. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it, right? I mean, peace doesn't – it feels like we're going to get to a period of peace again at some point, regardless of what that looks like. But it's, even if you consider that the war is just with yourself, and you consider that on a daily basis, man, there have been times when I've been super depressed, and it's been a rough day, and it's tough to dig yourself out of that hole. And my mental game has been really tested on this lockdown phase of my life. But I'm happy to report, at least the light at the end of the tunnel is I've got all the guys here at the house. We've been rehearsing for the show we play on Sunday. But the fun part has been to actually just get a room again together and play together and just really interact with these guys, man. Like to see them in person, not on a phone or not on a Zoom phone call, but to actually physically, tangibly be able to touch them and just feel their presence and interact with them on that sort of really intimate level where it's, you know, face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
That's something I've missed because I don't have many friends in Nashville. So basically it's been my wife and my daughter and I in this lockdown situation for the most part, and that's been about it. So I'm thankful that I have my family that helped me get through this, but I love having these guys just even for this week that they're here.
Yeah.
That I have this little reprieve from this idea that it almost feels like we're this lifeboat just floating out in the middle of the ocean. You know what I mean? We're surrounded by other lifeboats, I guess. But it's been crazy, man. But I we do feel good. You know, we're happy the album's out today. Finally, it didn't seem real. But I, when I'm done, I'm gonna go over to the local Walmart and I'm gonna go pick up a copy of the CD to make sure that it's real.
Yeah, I have
to make sure that this is actually happening.
I believe it, man. And listen, Sean, you mentioned, you know, during lockdown, we've seen a lot of collaborations that have been taking place virtually, and it's been really cool. It's been different. And you can certainly share and collaborate on musical ideas when you're in separate locations. But is there an intangible? Is there something when it comes to writing and performing together that you can only get if you're all together in the same place at the same time?
Yeah, there's definitely a hit of something, man. That's addictive. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's the dopamine dump that you get from it or just the excitement factor of it. It feels like I haven't played in a band in eons at this point. So to have just even to walk into a room and see the amp set up, that in itself is exciting. You know, it's like it's to play that guitar and to hear the whole band kick in, and we're playing the new stuff, and it's super, super exciting to hear it because we've never played this new stuff together ever. We've recorded it separately and done our part, but we've never played these songs. So that's the best part about every new album is you get to play the newest stuff and you get to sort of inject new life into the set list and into the live shows. So that's been great, man. Everybody came in, everyone's rehearsed them. You know, they knew their parts. I kind of came in a little bit under rehearsed. I was a bit of a drag, but I learned my parts again. And you know, it's funny how quickly you'll forget parts of the songs that you've played thousands of times.
Yeah,
because you aren't playing them so often. And I've been working on new music and stuff, so I come into the rehearsal room and I'm like, oh, I got this. Let's do this. And it's Gank, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to listen to the song quick because I forgot how it went. So it's been a trip, man. But again, it's kind of like a childlike excitement when you get back in the room with these guys. Cause it's like, I remember being a kid in a garage, and the first time you play, and you're actually playing some coherent version of a Jimi Hendrix song, let's say, it's terrible, but at least you're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
And it's that, but it's now us playing our music, and it's a similar kind of experience, similar kind of environment, but we're basically just playing for ourselves right now. We're doing the live stream on Sunday, which will be cool, but it still feels like it's a rehearsal because there's no people, there's no fans in the room to react with and inspire. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes as far as that goes. I'm excited to do it, but it's a very bizarre experience.
Well, I think, and we've talked about this with various people, and some of the people, at Live Nation, obviously, who, have been having to adapt. They've been doing, live-in, drive-in shows and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe, like, for example, like with the streaming thing, so obviously we will get back to a more normal approach. There will be concert arenas, and there will be things, and there may be a few adaptations here and there. But I think the idea of every once in a while, if you want to say, hey, we're just going to do a streaming show tonight, you could do that. It may not have been something you would entertain prior to this, but in a way, it might open up another channel for you to reach your audience.
You know, what's funny is before any of this, we've been talking about this for years. We were like, how can we come up with a way that we can tour without actually leaving our houses? I don't know if we had anything. I don't think we had anything to do with it because I don't think we have that much power over the universe. But it's now interesting that kind of forced our hand, right? We talked about it in the past just because when you start burning out on a tour, you think, well, it'd be so cool if I could sleep in my own bed every night, but yet still play a show the next day and present as if you're in that city. So then you start talking about the holograms and stuff like that. But yeah, now we have no choice. Now all the guys drove in from their separate cities, and that we're all here now. And we are now doing exactly what we said before. We're playing a show, but we're not going anywhere. We come back to our own beds, and the most important really about that is going to your own bathroom, because some of those backstage toilets in some of these places, man.
God, I believe it.
Straight out of Trainspotting with like on the ground. It's gross, but it is kind of ironic that we're now in a place where we have no choice. And I tell you what, as soon as we're allowed to tour, I feel like what's going to happen is there's two options. One is going to be like a slow burn, and it's going to take a little while to gain momentum. And the other is it's going to be like the gates open and it's just a flood.
Yeah.
And I think we see the second one. I think we see people go, because I don't mind being at home. I don't mind not leaving my house, because I generally don't like anybody in a car on the road that's with me, because they all drive like they've never driven before. I don't like the old ladies at the grocery store that try and run my kid over because they have no sense of humor. There's a whole bunch of things that annoy me. So I'm good staying home. But I tell you what, even I'm fed up with this now at this point, man. I'm starting to feel like, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah. Right.
We need to start doing. There needs to be a proactive just consensus amongst all of us that we need to get back to what was life as we knew it.
Sean, I want to
how
get
that
back.
Looks.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I don't know how that looks, but I'm just getting to the point where I'm really, really tired of all of this.
I think we all are, and we're all kind of jonesing to get back and see live music again. The thing that I was going to ask about was that I love when there's a song that I've forgotten about, and then it shows up in my life again. And the one that comes to mind is Nirvana's Something in the Way. It showed back up in the Batman trailer that came out earlier this week. Have you ever seen that happen with any of your music? Like maybe a song that you wrote years ago, and then it sort of resurfaces in a way that you didn't expect?
I had somebody call me up the other day and say, hey, man, I really like this song. It was a friend of mine who lives up in Maine. And I said, wait, you like that song? You never listened to it before? He's like, well, yeah. I listened to some of the stuff. I didn't listen to the whole thing. And he mentioned a song from like three albums ago that was kind of like one of the tail end of the album. I forget what the name of it was. But I went back and listened to it. Like, oh, man, I really love this song. I was like, how come I haven't remembered to listen to the song more often? But you go back to that commercial. I hadn't listened to Something in a Way in so long too. I loved the way they presented that. I must say though, dude, I have an issue with that guy playing Batman. I don't know what you guys feel.
I'm going to have to disagree with you, my friend. I think Rob Pattinson is now. I am currently wearing the Batman movie shirt. Listen, I respect your point of view, but I think Rob Pattinson absolutely has what you need. You need that torn up, emotionally wrought thing. His stature's right. And did you see the trailer? It's awesome.
Yeah. Look, I will say that. I When I saw the trailer, it's half convinced me that maybe, okay, I can accept the sparkly vampire as Batman.
I know what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. I was never a fan of sparkly vampires, but he's proven himself to be a good actor, and I think physically and also in that whole thing. And so it's a period piece too, so it's taking place during the 90s. Right. So You cross your fingers. Are you a genre fan? Are you a fan of comic book stuff and things of that nature?
Yeah, definitely a Batman. Like I was a Michael Keaton Batman fan. George Clooney, no thank you very much. I also a hard no on Ben Affleck as Batman.
See, I'm going to have to disagree with you again. Because Ben Affleck is by my reckoning, the greatest screen Batman. I love Michael Keaton. I love Christian Bale. I agree on George Clooney. But listen, these are matters that we can talk for about 5 or 6 hours, and I'm sure we can hash it out.
This is a touchy subject.
I wanted to ask you something a little bit more serious, because you obviously, with your own personal connection to suicide and how Steeler has gotten behind suicide awareness, Voices of Education. Yeah. There was a stat that just came out that said 1 in 4 people between the ages of 18 and 24 over the past 5 months have seriously considered suicide, and it's something. Yeah. It's helped. It would be wise to remind people of what the organization does and what you guys are endeavoring to do.
Yeah, well, Save deals with obviously with suicide awareness, and they deal a lot with veterans with PTSD, and they do a lot of work with families that are recovering from the after effect of suicide. And those who are dealing with attempted suicide. So Dr. Dan is the head of the organization. And he's the kind of guy that lives and breathes this cause. You know what I mean? He's the ultimate warrior for achieving mental well-being. And we had Rise Above Fest, which was supposed to have its rebirth here in Nashville in September, which we've now had to postpone until 2021. But that's our way to raise money and awareness. Once a year, we put on a rock show, and we invite some of our favorite bands to play. And then, the whole idea is we all gather together with the idea that it's supposed to be fun, but we try and at least talk about the subject and touch on the topic that so many people are afraid to talk about. And, not only is it 1 in 4, man, you got to think about the spike in teen suicides and kids as young as, kids that haven't even hit double digits yet, man, because of this incredibly crazy situation we find ourselves in. And it's really horrifying to watch it play out. But how do we help at this point? You know what I mean?
Well, you're equipped to do it. Your music can help provide solace, and it does that. It does reach out, but it also reminding people that because, like, kids in elementary school, kids and kids, they're not having exposure and getting that camaraderie and friendship that they really need to be out with other kids. You know, more than ever, if you think there might be an issue, err on the side of caution and talk to someone or recommend they get some help, because it is profoundly important. And what you guys and you in particular are doing is essential.
Well, I tell you what I've seen personally in my life. My daughter just went started going back to daycare a couple of weeks ago, and she'd been home with us for 6 months. And she was often really, we would have days where she was in a terribly bad mood, man.
Yeah.
And there was nothing we could do. There was no way, no amount of attention we gave her would soothe her. Nothing was good enough for her. And she was really emotional. And she started going back to daycare. And dude, it's like a different kid. She goes and hangs out with her friends. We get the photos every day where she's hugging on and loving on her friends. She's playing with these kids outside. She's learning Spanish. She's doing art and craft and all this stuff. And a 3.5-year-old's mental well-being, you can see the massive change. And I mean, that's for somebody that doesn't, she's only now developing the social skills. Like she's talking up a storm, and she's got this great little imagination. But now you imagine people that have already, now you're talking about teenagers that the social environment is really all they care about, and you take that away from them. I can only imagine how devastating that is.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping, and again, so that's maybe another reason why we thought, let's put out some music, because I know a lot of bands have delayed it because they felt like they couldn't tour. And I see that side of it. You know, it's an experiment for us. It's like, can we put out an album without touring it and have it be successful? I believe you can. I don't think that touring necessarily makes an album more successful. I think the album can make a tour more successful with good singles and radio play, obviously.
Right.
But you know, the album is supposed to be sort of like a beacon of light, you know, the ray of sunshine coming through. Because I've, for example, I've blown through all my playlists, man. I've listened to all the music that I love. And I'm like, okay, I need something new. I'm just randomly hitting on a band name to see if I like it or not. Yeah. So if somebody puts out, if a band that I love puts out a new song or new music, I'm all over it. Like Bring Me the Horizon put out Parasite Eve just recently. And I was like, man, this is great. You know, 21 Pilots put out that quarantine song, whatever it's called. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I understand that it's new music from these guys that possibly wouldn't have put out new music at this time. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate that it was put out for fans to have something new from the people that they enjoy to listen to, you know?
Hey, Sean, I want to ask you about your relationship with the radio station and the city of Philadelphia real quick, because in 2002, you guys released your first album, and MMR has been playing your music since you guys put it out there. And actually, today is the 15th anniversary of a show that you guys played at the Electric Factory. Yeah. And so I wanted to see what your thoughts are on the city of Philadelphia and MMR.
Yeah, we love you guys. We also did One Cold Night, remember, in Philly when we had Pat Callahan as our guitarist, who's a local Philly boy.
Yeah.
We've had a long-standing relationship with you guys, and we love you guys. In fact, I think you guys were there when Pat got his guitar at the Hard Rock Cafe to hang up on the wall. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like, it's like whenever we go to Philadelphia, we know we have a home, man. And you guys have been one of the most supportive radio stations of our band. I mean, out of all of them. So we always appreciate you guys and really, really appreciate the support, man.
It's mutual. It's very, a very familial feel, and it's good to have it.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, Sean getting in touch because a new album is out today, their 8th studio album, See We Peckham Parabellum. So you can get that today. And also the live stream concert. It's the whole band, right? It's all you guys on Sunday.
Yes, sir. It's four kind of bedraggled looking fellows that
bedraggled.
Well, to be.
You know, you got the. It'll Corona haircut.
It'll be at 3 p.m. and you can go through seether.veeps, Veeps spelling VEEPS.com, and you can get the tickets, and it's $20 for the live stream. So, all right, Sean, it's always great to have you on, man. Guys, keep cranking it out. Good luck with the new album, and hopefully we will see you in the flesh maybe sometime next year.
Yeah. Well, hey, I thank you guys so much, man. I really appreciate it, and it feels right to be on with you guys on this day of the release. It just feels like it's meant to be, you know?
Excellent.
And I appreciate you guys supporting.
Our pleasure. Thanks, guys. Sean Morgan, guys. Yeah. Seether.
What a nice guy.
He's a super nice
guy.
What
a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. So
I enjoyed his take, Steve. I mean, it was a really civil conversation about Batman, but it was cool.
Listen, like, I entertain all opinions.
All wrong opinions, right?
I have a few of my own.
But I enjoyed it.
Yes.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.